The Department of Energy has decided to move forward on a stalled futuristic coal-burning power plant in central Illinois that languished during the Bush administration. The project, known as Future Gen, would burn coal for power but store emissions of the greenhouse gas carbon dioxide underground. It was slated to be built in Mattoon, Illinois, but was canceled after a faulty cost analysis put the price of the project higher than it should have been. Energy Secretary Stephen Chu said in a statement last week that reviving Future Gen is an important step that shows the Obama administration's commitment to carbon capture technology. But is so-called clean coal really possible? Last month, WMNS spoke with Kurt Davies, a spokesman for Greenpeace USA. He disputed the notion.
Well, in fact, clean coal is a myth at this point. If you ask, depending on who you ask, clean coal either means it's cleaner than it used to be, or it means this magical new coal plant that somehow burns coal without releasing pollution. And, of course, coal burning is cleaner than it used to be because the utilities who burn coal have been sued and regulated into cleaning up their act to prevent acid rain and to limit mercury emissions and, you know, a number of other things. But that's not done voluntarily. The concept clean coal would be, as they say it, would be to capture the carbon dioxide out of the emission stream and then put it in a pipeline and take it someplace in the country where there is deep water aquifers under the earth, and sink it down in there and let it stay there forever. So essentially making Perrier out of these old saltwater aquifers. That's about the safest place you could put it. That takes an awful lot of energy. In fact, you'd have to burn 10 to 40% more coal just to do that. But the basic thing is this technology does not exist. It exists only in the laboratory. And now it is being relied upon by regulators and by the utilities as the holy grail, the silver bullet to solving climate change, to still burn coal. What we say instead is that our money, taxpayer money, is far better spent on energy efficiency and on investing in renewable energy that gets us to a decarbonized energy economy faster and more efficiently and, most of all, cheaper. Now, the worst thing for consumers about clean coal is they're asking us to pay for it three times. They're asking us to fund the R&D, so the utilities are not putting up much money at all to develop this technology. Then they're going to ask us, of course, to pay more for electricity because this is going to be like putting the most expensive coal plant ever built on the road or in the grid. Right now, the plants that are generating our electricity, a lot of them are 50 years old, so they're paid for, and they're really inefficient and polluting, but the utilities can charge us whatever they want for the electricity. It's all money for them. So this new plant, you'd have to pay for the higher prices of electricity. You'd have to pay for the R&D, and then now they're asking us to pay insurance on the risk of putting carbon dioxide in pipelines through our communities to get it to proposed safe geology where the storage sites would occur. So it's a lot like the nuclear waste program where, nuclear waste from our entire fleet of nuclear power plants would have to get on railroads and travel out to Yucca Mountain if we decide to put the nuclear waste out there. So this is dead-end technology as far as we're concerned. It is a false hope, a pipe dream, whatever trite thing you want to say, but we think there's a lot better ways we can invest money. The problem is coal has a lot of political power right now, and they, through their $45 million advertising campaign during the election season, convinced both presidential candidates to say clean coal and to sort of buy into the clean coal.
Right, we're still seeing those ads right now all the time on cable news.
They're running even more of them now.
Right, right. Again, we're speaking with Kurt Davies with Greenpeace. And Kurt, going back to your new leader, Phil Radford, I had been reading that he's been talking about committing to working with major corporations on environmental innovations, and he cited Greenpeace's recent cooperation with Unilever, Coke, Pepsi, and other companies to bring climate-friendly refrigerators to the U.S.
Yeah.
market. Can you talk about that?
That's actually work that I'm participating in. It's our Green Freeze project, and we started this about 20 years ago in Europe. The gas that's in your car air conditioner, everybody's had their air conditioner recharged, right? And that's, especially in Florida, you're really conscious of your air conditioning. When you have to have it recharged, it means something leaked out. What leaked out is, everybody knows it, is Freon. The coolant gas, it's a chemical that's in your air conditioner, in your refrigerator, in building air conditioning and commercial refrigeration that transfers the cold out of your car or your beer or your house and out into a place where you can get rid of the heat. That gas is built to trap heat and built to be very durable. So when it's released in the atmosphere, it's a lot more potent, a greenhouse gas, than carbon dioxide, thousands of times more potent. What we've been working with Unilever, Coca-Cola, Pepsi, a bunch of other corporations on, is alternatives that don't cause as much global warming if they're released. These alternatives include compressed carbon dioxide, which behaves the same way as Freon would in trapping the heat, and then you compress it and you let it evaporate and it releases the heat in another part of the machine. The other one that works really well and is in refrigerators all across Europe is isobutane, the same stuff that's in a cigarette lighter, for example. That's a very efficient refrigerant. And basically everywhere else in the world except for North America, you can buy a refrigerator that has a little bit of isobutane in it instead of these potent greenhouse gases. We call them the F gases. They're fluorinated gases.